An Afghan citizen sits today in a prison awaiting trial in an Islamic court for converting to Christianity. Islamic clerics have stated he should be killed for denying the faith of Islam. Is this what American soldiers have died to allow? This case illustrates the crux of the problem facing American policy in a part of the world we're still trying to understand. You're listening to Longitude. It's Friday, March 24th, 2006. I'm Darris McNeely. The present situation in Afghanistan is an example of what we would all face if Islamic fundamentalists succeeded in overthrowing Western culture and establishing what they call Sharia law in place of the fundamental freedoms we sometimes take for granted in the West. Let me read some from a Reuters article today showing some of the facts of the case. It says, growing international pressure on Afghanistan to respect the religious freedom of a Christian convert was met in Afghanistan on Friday by a clamor of calls for the man to be executed for denying Islam. The controversy over 40-year-old Abdurrahman, whose trial is due to begin next week, threatens to drive a wedge between Afghanistan and Western countries that are ensuring its security and bankrolling its development. But President Hamid Karzai cannot ignore the views of conservative proponents of Islamic law or appear to bow too readily to outside pressure. A group of several hundred people, including a former prime minister and religious and former faction leaders, met in Kabul and urged that Rahman be tried under Islamic law and threatened trouble if the government caved in to Western pressure. Rahman was detained last week for converting to Christianity and could face the death penalty if he refuses to become a Muslim again, some of the officials say. One quote says this from an Islamic cleric. He says, "We respect all religions, but we don't go into the British embassy or the American embassy to see what religion they are following," said a cleric at a Kabul mosque today. Well, you know, I take exception with what this cleric said. That's not exactly true. Islam does not respect all religions. That's just a statement to get people off the scent and off the real issue here. He goes on and he said, "We won't let anyone interfere with our religion, and he should be punished." Virtually everyone interviewed in a sample of opinion in several parts of the deeply conservative Muslim country said that Rahman should be punished. This seems to be the prevailing opinion. This article goes on, and it mentions a comment here at the end about from another cleric. It says, "A cleric and member of parliament from one province in Afghanistan said that Rahman should be executed. Quote, it would be better to get no aid or military help from the West for 100 years than accept this affront." Well, I think that pretty well sums up some of the feeling among the locals there in Afghanistan regarding one man's conversion to Christianity. You know, what's interesting about this case is that so far there have only been tepid comments coming from the United States administration. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice has said that she's working through diplomatic channels to resolve this conflict. President Bush the other day expressed concern about the case in one of his public appearances. But here's the heart of the matter. Mr. Rahman has exercised his choice to worship God according to his personal conviction. He's done so within a nation that forbids the preaching of another religion. Islam recognizes the primacy of no other world faith. Despite what you may be led to believe by those who seek an ecumenical tolerance among religions today, Islam is not a tolerant religion in its purest form, and its history bears that out, and its writings bear that out. If it was, you would see the doors open for other faiths to enter its regions and open churches. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen or heard, do you know where the Catholic Archbishop of Saudi Arabia is? That's right. There is no Catholic Archbishop of Saudi Arabia. Now, Mr. Rahman has made his choice, understanding what consequences may come his way. According to the articles here, he's kept this quiet for some 15 years. He was working for a Western-based Christian aid organization when he did convert to Christianity, and it seems that there was some family conflict, and he was turned in by some of his fellow family members. But he's made his choice. He's lived with it for a number of years, and now it's come out. Perhaps, let's just speculate, perhaps Mr. Rahman actually read the Christian scriptures, the Bible, and he has taken Jesus at his word, where Christ admonished his followers to count the cost of discipleship. Mr. Rahman could die for his choice of faith. That is an uncomfortable, if not an alien, thought for many people. But it is what we are seeing taking place here. Abdul Rahman is like you and I. He has a freedom of choice, the God-given freedom of choice, to live by the faith of his choice. This freedom comes not from his native land, nor does it come from the United States, which has engineered a significant governmental change in Afghanistan over the last 5 years. No, his freedom to choose comes from God, the creator of all life, the God who is the intelligent designer of life on this planet, the very God of Abraham, the father of the Arab peoples. When we go back to the book of Genesis, in the second chapter of Genesis, we see there that God gave to the first man and woman, Adam and Eve, the choice between two ways of life, symbolized by two trees, a tree of life and a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And despite what you may have understood or heard about that those two trees, they do tell us a great deal about the very beginning of our culture and of civilization and this fundamental fact of freedom of choice, because God gave to mankind at that point in time the freedom of choice. This freedom is apart from any other human government. It is the freedom to choose between obeying God and obeying man, and it began there in the Garden in Eden. Now, God gives us the choice to obey or to disobey him. The story of that disobedience and that obedience is written on the pages of human history and in the pages of your Bible. Failed religion is at the heart of the issue here. Islamic Sharia law, as administered in some of these Arab countries, takes that God-given freedom and tramples it into the dust of oppression. Is it little wonder that virtually no innovative and creative ideas have come from the Arab world? What President Bush should do is stand before the cameras and in non-negotiable terms state the following. President Karzai, let this man go. Let this man go and worship according to his conscience as he now understands. The lives of American men and women have not been shed on your soil to allow this kind of barbaric behavior. Before the world, I call on you to exercise mercy and judgment and spare this man's life. Bring your country into the 21st century on this matter of human rights. Do this now for the good name of your country. That's what you should do. I say, let freedom ring, and let it ring loud. For Longitude, I'm Darris McNeely. Keep listening.